My brothers and sisters in Christ, think for a moment about your home. Look around its walls, its space, and envision this with your mind's eye. What do you see? What do you see in your home? For most of us, we see rooms filled with furniture, appointments on the walls, some of these having screens. We see fridges with calendars of busy comings and goings, and we see counters full of the natural debris of just busy lives. We might say our homes are full. We might also say our schedules are full. And yet sometimes, too, what happens is our hearts become full. We recognize there's no more space there. I think there's a kind of spiritual crowding that can happen in our modern life. We see it, we talk about it, but it's a real effect, a spiritual crowding. We make room for all these other things, but sometimes we forget to make enough room for God in our hearts. But today's give us this beautiful, quiet, and radical invitation to build something new in the midst of our crowded lives. Listen again to the first reading from the second book of Kings. We meet a remarkable woman from Shunem. She is wealthy, influential, a kind of woman who could easily be too busy, too important to stop to notice a wandering prophet passing through her town. And yet she has spiritual eyes to see, and she recognizes Elisha as a holy man of God. She doesn't just extend an invitation to a meal. She doesn't just wave hello. She builds him a room. Listen again to the beautiful detail. A small upper chamber with walls, furnished with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. This is not casual hospitality. When was the last time you build a room for a visiting guest? A room to themselves. No, this is sacred architecture, sacred design. She is creating a permanent sanctuary for some godly thing to dwell, a holy man of God, in the middle of her ordinary household. And the wonder of it all, she asks for nothing in return, and giving up a whole room of her house. The barren woman, in exchange for this, is promised a son of God. God cannot be outdone in generosity. Do we see the connection? By making a physical room for the prophet, God recognizes the woman's emptiness, and he creates a womb in her heart, room within her womb for new life in a profound way. Right? God knows where the real emptiness lies, and he knows how to fill it beyond our heart's imagination. St. Jerome saw this story and speaks so beautifully of an image in this of every soul. He says that the soul who wishes to receive the word of God must rise above the noise of the streets, above the lower distractions of the flesh, and create an upper room of contemplation, of quiet, and of prayer. Every Christian, he goes on to teach, must become a builder to construct for themselves an upper room. My brothers and sisters, where is the upper room in your home? Where is Jesus hanging on a crucifix for all to see? Where is there a space, a corner? Where do you place your Bible? Where might an image of Our Lady or the Sacred Heart hang? Does your family gather in these spaces, even for just moments within a day, even just once a week? Or is every square inch of our home covered with things, potentially with screens, with phones, with busyness, with fine and ordinary decor, but just fine and ordinary decor? Where's the godly recognized in your homes, in your spaces? And where's the upper room in your schedule? Notice the Shunammite woman gave Elisha not just space, but a dedicated time and place, a predictable place to come back to return to, this little room. Have we given God a settled time which he can count on having access to us? Or do we just squeeze him in when it's convenient, when it doesn't compete with our priorities? I so love these readings for myself. I recall in my college days a chair, brown chair, as it was called, a family hand-me-down willingly accepted it, as much of us do in college with hand-me-down furniture. But it stayed with me, and it came to my first apartment with my roommates, and it was the shabby chair that didn't match our decor, didn't match the new couch that we bought. But I was quite attached to it. It was comfortable. It was this crushed velvet thing, probably from the late 70s, early 80s. You can envision this, overstuffed, but super comfortable. You fell into the chair, and you didn't get out. But the thing of it is, it invited me to pray. As I was kind of being a young man of the world, I learned to pray in this chair. It created two things for me. It was always a space where I prayed. It was always a space that I went to, and when I was in it, I was compelled to pray. It became a little prayer corner wherever the chair was. And I hung on to it for almost 20 years before I entered the seminary, and it just kind of fell apart. It didn't make it to the seminary, but it was a little sacred space. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't take much to create a little space where you just kind of like are in a prayer bubble, if you will, in your home. You know, I delight in visiting your homes as you're so generous to invite us out, and I see the crucifix on the walls, I see prayer corners, I see prayer walls. These are beautiful things. Favorite chairs where spouses claim one and the other one claims the other, and you just know you have your place to pray. Well-worn chairs, it's a delight to see this in your homes. Don't forget those places. And brothers and sisters, if you don't have one, create a space. It doesn't take much to create that space. We know God can encounter you there every single time. Every single time. So I invite you to think about these upper rooms in your homes, to create that space or to protect the space and to double down in using the space. Don't forget the space that you have. And preserve that 10 minutes of silent prayer in that space with your family, for yourself. Perhaps in the morning before the noise of the day begins, but hold fast to that place where God is welcome. And certainly, don't forget to create time in your schedule. Where is the best 10 minutes of your day where you are fresh, you are disposed, you are available to the Lord, and make sure He has your heart in that time. For me, oftentimes when I was working, it was my morning commute, because I wasn't timely, I was not going to get up early. But sitting in rush hour traffic for 15 minutes, stand still, you can still have your eyes on the road and just pray extemporaneous prayer to the Lord. And stuck in rush hour traffic on the way home doing the same thing. That's prayer. And I come to do it by second nature. I was always praying in the car, stuck in traffic. Where is the best captive place of your heart with the Lord? And notice, brothers and sisters, we are doing that today. We do this every Sunday, every Mass. We come to this parish as the upper room, where Jesus is both guest and host, and He comes to us in the Eucharist. And all He ever asks of us is that we make room in our hearts for Him. May we welcome Him more deeply today, so that when we leave this place, truly may be ready to build upper rooms wherever that we go. Trusting that wherever we make space, He fulfills the emptiness where He knows best with superabundant life. Amen.